The Diesel Podcast.
Digital integration in English as a second or other language.
Episode 34, punctuation.
Welcome to Diesel. This is episode 34. We are your hosts. I am Brent Warner.
And I'm Michelle Reyes. Hey, Brent.
Hey, how are you?
How's it going?
Good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
February.
It is.
It's February. It's going to be another short February. I hope you're ready for it. Everything going okay? What are you up to?
Yeah, everything's going okay. I'm not. I know Diesel's coming up soon. Are you going?
Diesel's coming up soon? my head is in so many places. I have no idea. No, I'm not going.
Yeah, I'm not going this time either. Yeah. But are you doing anything with Q? I know Q is also coming up.
Yeah. So we just had the Orange County Q Tech Fest, which was great. That just wrapped up. And then I've got local Catisol things going on. We've got a presentation going on there. I'm just a volunteer for that. I'm not doing any presentations, so that's kind of nice. And then I'm a featured presenter for Q for the big Q conference, which is kind of cool. That's exciting. So yeah, that's coming up, but that's in March. That's still a little ways away. I got some time to plan for that.
Yeah.
All right. So, cool. Michelle, we got a few things. This might be a little shorter episode. We are, shorter month, maybe a shorter episode. That's okay. But we're going to talk a little bit about punctuation. So let's, I was trying to think of like a joke to talk about punctuation, but I'm just going to
corny joke.
It has to be punctuation. You know, it's like a visible. I was, you know, it's like I have to move my finger or something to punctuate something. But anyways, let's move over to the topic. All right, punctuation. So here's the thing. So Michelle, we're trying to go back for this episode. We wanted to go back to the classic format, you know, do a little bit of research, find out some about the topic, and then offer some ideas. I did some research, it's been a pretty busy few weeks for the beginning of the semester, but I was trying to find resources like professional articles on punctuation. Mm-hmm. They're pretty few and far between. Mm-hmm. People don't talk a lot about punctuation, and I'm sure there's going to be a listener out there who's going to find something and go, why don't you know about this classic study? But I really couldn't find very much. I don't know. Do you have any classic resources on punctuation?
I do not. And I wonder if maybe I don't feel super excited when we talk about research on punctuation. So I wonder if it's because maybe Let's that's embedded into
classic research on punctuation.
Like writing research instead.
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? We're going to be talking about punctuation, but punctuation is totally context dependent. And many people, you've got your, prescriptionists and prescriptivists and all these things like who are, hey, I want to have this absolutely these straight hardcore rules about punctuation. I am not that type of person. I see different uses in punctuation. Being online, of course, like we see all sorts of crazy uses of punctuation that's like way outside of the standard rules. I try to toe the line with my students about like, hey, we need to have proper punctuation to help us understand, but there is a lot of wiggle room inside of using it too. So I want to talk to my students more about, you know, the grammar and the use of language and how the sentences are being put together and then how the punctuation affects that more than just like, okay, here are the, here is the full list of all of the punctuation marks. By the way, Michelle,
yep.
How many punctuation marks are there in English grammar?
Hey, this sounds like something that you would ask me.
No peeking. I see your hand moving. Hold on. You're Googling. No Googling around.
I'm going to guess about 20.
Name them all.
period, question mark, comma, semicolon, colon, quotation marks, parentheses, bracket, hyphen.
Good. I think you're at 8 or 9
right now. Ellipsis. I did say period.
You did.
I did say comma. Apostrophe.
Yep.
How many is that?
I think you've got about 10.
I'm halfway. 11. According to
your guess. Okay, I'm just going to, because our listeners are on the edge of their seat. The real answer is 14.
What was I missing?
You didn't read them in order of the order that I have them in, so I was trying to mentally go through the list. I'll just read them off for you, though. Period, question mark, exclamation mark, comma, semicolon, colon, dash, and the dash is kind of suspicious because mm-hmm. there's also like the M dash, and the N dash is like hidden inside of there, but there's this resource just calls it dash. Hyphen, parentheses, brackets, braces, apostrophe,
braces,
quotation mark, and ellipses. That's your 14. So normally I would not ever present that as a list to my students, but it's kind of cool to look at it and go, oh, yeah, here is the full list. Here's the things that we see in there. And you might have a little bit of, like I said, with things like the dash and the M dash and the N dash, you might have a different, count on that a little bit, but I think that's pretty fair. So so you could kind of work through different parts of these things. I want to talk a little bit about myths around punctuation. And I think a lot of teachers, not necessarily that they buy into these myths, but they do perpetuate them. So what are some of the myths or some of the things that you have taught your students or that maybe you've heard people say to students or maybe even more likely you've heard your students come bring back to you and say, oh, this is the rule I know.
Yes. That's a good point to cover because I've had students who will tell me after a semicolon, you capitalize something because it's like a period.
Mm-hmm.
And to deprogram the students from thinking from not sticking to whatever rule they thought they learned overseas or with another instructor is really hard because then they think that you don't know the rule. Mm-hmm. And again, we're talking about punctuation depending on context, right?
Right.
So, and oftentimes students may not even know how to use the semicolon. I've also seen it where, oh yeah, nobody uses the Oxford comma anymore.
Really?
And so it's like, yep, I've heard that too.
I thought the Oxford comma made a strong comeback. I thought it was like there's no more argument there, but okay.
I think that's just going to be a forever thing because I still have colleagues who are not fans of the Oxford comma.
What? I mean, how do they justify, the sentences that clearly need an Oxford comma?
I have not had that conversation yet.
Okay.
That's something that my students repeatedly bring to me, and they'll even bring me examples, and then I'll have to go through the whole explanation of, hey, it depends on what, we'll think about it this way, and then showing them examples, as you said, where if you were talking about a legal case, that comma, that Oxford comma, mm-hmm. could cost somebody money, mm-hmm. Time in jail, and so those are the times when we have to reflect on what the purpose of that punctuation is.
Right.
Yeah. What about you?
So there's a couple of them. Also, semicolon is the nasty
yeah.
little goblin of punctuation there, I guess. But one of the ones that students get taught, I think by maybe overseas or maybe I don't know where they're coming up with this, but if you're not sure if you should use a colon or a period, just use a semicolon. It's like,
oh
wait, what? Like,
oh, but then you get like those essays that have like semicolons everywhere.
Everywhere, right? Because the students have never learned when to use a period properly. I mean, it's very often students who are guilty of like crazy run-on sentences, so they try and kind of parse it apart with
or the opposite.
Yeah. And so you'll see some things like that, and it's like, well, where did you learn this? And they're like, oh, well, because if you're not sure. And so it's like, I am very amused by the idea of like not being sure, and so just like you know, it's like playing darts blindfolded. You're like, maybe this will work. And I'm just going to
color.
Semicolon, yes. Semicolon, zap, zap. Right? I'm going to make a Chrome plugin that just throws semicolons into a Google.
Oh my gosh.
So that's one. And then another one is putting a comma where you breathe, right?
Which I haven't heard that one.
It's well-meaning advice, and yeah. There's certain parts of it, but like the question is, where do you breathe? How long do you breathe?
Yeah.
How long is a breath?
If you're coming from a language that doesn't pause in you know, after a verb or after, I don't know, whatever grammar structure, how would you know where to put that
right
punctuation or where to breathe?
It is a nice, I talk about that idea a little bit with my students when we're talking about run-ons, because I'll try to like exacerbate a whole sentence and just be like, first I went to the beach and then I saw a dog and the dog was really cute. And so I tried to pet the dog, but the dog ran away. Sure. And then I'm like, right. And I'm like, well, there's no letting up of the idea. Right. And so yes, there needs to be punctuation to separate these ideas inside of there. And that kind of helps them see a little bit, but that doesn't actually help them know where to put periods and where to separate with commas and things like that. And then the second thing is like, if I run a marathon and start talking to you, then I'm going to have punctuation in every other word inside of there. So it's kind of a silly thing, but, you know, there are a few, I like to talk to the students about, and we'll get into the ideas on activities in the second part, but I like to talk to the students about the idea of context-dependent punctuation, right? So it's not really about teaching punctuation directly. Here is exactly how you use an ellipsis, and here is exactly how you use this. It's like, well, what is the purpose? What are you trying to do? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm trying to show that, you know, this idea is trailing off in my creative writing. Oh, okay. Well, then you might actually use an ellipsis or something, right? And this is how you do it. Or also really good when students bring it to me, although I'll say that students tend to bring them in kind of context independent too, right? They'll show you like two words and then a punctuation mark and they're like, why is there a bracket here? Like, well, hold on. I need a lot bigger sentence or even the full paragraph to understand that.
Right. Because oftentimes, it's dependent on the sentence before it or the thought that came after it. And maybe on the feeling that the writer wanted to evoke.
Yeah.
As they're telling you whatever it is they wrote.
Absolutely. So a couple resources, and Ishelle, if you'd like to share yours too. I'm going to start off with a book that I grabbed, which is like, you know, of course, if we're talking punctuation, it's going to be nerdy, but it's called The Best Punctuation Book, period. And it's just kind of cool. It does. So if your student is a straight up grammar nerd student, or if you are a grammar nerd, or, you know, which listening to the show, it's pretty likely, it does break down every single, grammar or punctuation mark and how the grammar works inside of it and the different uses of them. So I'm looking at it right now. I got the Kindle version of it, and it's like, okay, so let me skip to a section just as an example. So quotation mark, it's got quotation marks to indicate direct quotation or dialogue, quotation marks to indicate unusual or ironic meaning, quotation marks for words discussed as words, right? So the example there is the word, quote, hip is becoming less common, right? And so, anyways, it really does do, you know, it's kind of what the students ask for is like, just give me a full list of everything that happens. Like, well, this book might be a good example. And they're kind of fun. It's written lightly, but it's pretty thorough. So, so that's one pretty good resource.
That is pretty cool. And I'm hoping that you've heard of the book called Eats, Shoots, and Leaves.
Yeah.
Classic. So it's a classic for those people who are into punctuation and grammar, really, because it also shows you in a kind of a
It's pretty dry.
It's a comic.
Dry and sardonic, you know, like that
yes,
British.
Yes, sarcastic. Mm-hmm. approach to punctuation, but again, it shows you what a misplaced comma might do for a sentence, and so that's kind of a classic. I think a lot of my colleagues, we either had to read it, or it was assigned to us, or we just picked it up because it was an interesting book.
Yeah, I remember when that first came out, and I think, my memory of this is old, but it was at the time when, like, just buying a book was not something I could easily afford to do. I remember seeing it at the bookstore. And if you remember going to bookstores and I'm like, I want this book, but can I really justify paying, $13 or whatever it was for it? Of course I did eventually get it, but, that's a great book there too. I'm going to share theoatmeal.com. I think a lot of people follow him from his Instagram account. I've been following him for a long time. And way, 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 way back when he was kind of not first getting started, but before Instagram and everything, he was doing all of these comics and things. And one of them was, he had a whole series on grammar and different grammar posters. He still sells them on his website. And so he's got a great one that's about the semicolon. Mm-hmm. And so I actually have it. It's up in my office. I haven't been in my office for a year, but it is pretty nice to kind of look at and go, okay, well, if students are going to insist on using the semicolon, let's talk them through this poster. And again, I think this is kind of a common theme, is that people find this fun, light language to make a kind of a dry subject doable. They talk about this idea of, how do I use the semicolon? And he says, well, he explains it normally, but then he gives example sentences. It says, my aunt also had hairy knuckles, semicolon. She loved to wash and comb them. And he's talking here about independent clause connected to an independent clause, and it's all separated. But he's using these, these kind of gross or wild or imaginative images. Yeah. And I think those things are really powerful, right? Because those are the things where you're like, oh, that's going to stick in my head. It's gross, but it kind of, it's going to be there, and I'll remember that a little bit later. So I would encourage anyone to go wild with their imagery around trying to teach some of these things. So I think that, that's a way to reach students some more too.
Yeah, and then I found a kind of like a basic website called, it's just very basic in the way that it looks. It's the punctuationguide.com. But when you click on the different types of punctuation, and actually I think they list more than what you had, but ooh. I didn't count them. But it does, when you click on one of the symbols, it gives you the correct form, the correct way to use it. And then it has lots of examples. So if someone wanted to look at, like you said, ellipsis, you could see lots of different explanations. And so that they talk about MLA and AP versus APA. So maybe a little more everything all in one page, which I kind of like, especially for students who are looking for specific examples and then to contrast them with others.
This is actually really nice, Ishelle, because there's no ads. It's not like cluttered up with a bunch of junk. It's super clean. So
I like that. If you click on any of those symbols, once you go to the page, it gives you a menu at the top of just the symbols. So you can click back and forth, and it's kind of a nice visual. Like, I like it in terms of, it's not, like you said, a lot of if you head over to the Owl at Purdue, for example, or Purdue Owl, the writing website. And I love it. I love that website too, but that's got a lot more stuff. So if you just wanted to, I'm sorry?
They started advertising. They started running all these gross ads on there. It sucks, but
a clean, basic punctuation guide. And it would be something like, I guess in the old days, you would purchase a leaflet from a bookstore with all of the different examples, and you just stick that in your notebook so you could refer to it. So this is just a digital version.
I like that. Yeah. That's really nice. So I think the golden find here, because you can just send that to students, thepunctuationguide.com. Yeah. It's really useful. And I do get students who ask those types of questions, and it's like, well, okay, you know, you want that list, here's the list, right? It's easy to see because it's all just one page, or each one is one page and easy to look at. So thank you for finding that one. That's great. All right. We don't have any reviews right now, which, you know, we're still looking for that 2021 review. Get us across the line here. But a couple ways to support the show. Number one, Michelle, as we said, reviews are great. They really do help us out.
We love reviews. Sometimes we get ideas for our episode content from reviews. So if you're looking for a specific topic, drop us a review. We love reading them. We love hearing back from the audience, and we love coming up with new ideas based on what the audience would like to hear.
And then the other thing is we're still playing with the Patreon thing. We got a couple people who are supporting us, so thank you so much. You know, we're trying to figure out the continual ways that we can offer some benefits of that. So we did our first kind of deep dive into a tech, that was fun. It was just cool to just sit down and just go, hey, we're going to spend an hour and we're just going to see what this tech is like and see what we can do and what ideas. We don't really give ourselves enough time to do that like that. So I actually had a good time doing that, Ishel.
And again, you don't set aside time to explore. And I think, you know, then we can save you some time. If you want to check something out, you'll know whether it was a win or a doozy.
Yeah. And we're calling it, what would we call it? Like the qualifiers.
Oh, the qualifiers.
Yeah. The qualifiers. Yes. Going with the diesel theme, qualifiers, see if it's good enough to actually use in the classroom. And so the first one, we did play with and
don't tell.
Oh yeah, sorry, that's a secret. Only for the Patreon supporters. All right, Ishel. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, just some basics of ideas around punctuation, some of the myths, some of the things, but there's still, you know, we're talking about the digital side of things, right? How do we get some tech involved in here to help students better understand or have opportunities to play with punctuation? Well, let's start with you.
So one of the tools I like is Hemingway app. I know we've talked about it before when we're discussing writing. Mm-hmm. Hemingway app is, even though it's called an app, it is a website, mm-hmm. a web tool, and it analyzes paragraphs and writing. It will color code in about, I think there's like three or four different levels of analysis that it does, but it shows it whether a sentence is too difficult to read or whether there's too many adverbs. And what a teacher might do here or a student might do is type in, the student can type in their sentence or their paragraph. I would say a paragraph because then you can see the relationship between ideas. And as it's analyzing and color coding, the teacher can now point out or ask the student to point out what that piece of punctuation is doing to the text. And mm-hmm. you can then replicate that sentence and see what it does in terms of color coding, because now you might take something out like a transition and you won't have a comma there, but you might have a comma joining two clauses that gives you the same relationship.
Right. Yeah, that's super smart. I like that because it highlights it and brings it up right away as they're typing, right? So they can start seeing, oh, okay, this is what's going on. So that makes a lot of sense. I like that idea, and it's still writing based. It's focused on the writing, but then you can analyze individual points right there.
Right, and I would say that also this is it's nice to have because it's very simple. And I know that a lot of our students are going to go on to writing courses where they're going to be using something like a Turnitin editor. You know, there's a lot of editors out there, but those are so complex and there's so many items that pop up once it starts analyzing grammar. So Hemingway app is a nice one to sort of start getting them used to seeing how text analyzers work so that they're not overwhelmed.
Nice. So one that I was thinking about is exploring through memes, right? So I think we all see these pretty regularly on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, Facebook, like, you know, these grammar and punctuation memes that can help students understand, like, hey, this is what's going on. I think the classic example is, you know, the difference between let's eat grandma versus let's eat grandma, right? So like calling out, hey grandma, let's eat, versus we're going to eat our grandmother for dinner. And there's a lot of different memes, and I think a lot of, you know, all of our listeners see these things, and it's just a matter of kind of collecting them and saving them. You can do all sorts of fun things with these memes, but I think one of the great ones is you can just have it as a warm-up activity. So right now you could just pop it in on a share screen on Zoom or whatever it is that you're using, and then you could have students try to share what the joke is, right? And there's a couple other parts inside of here. So are they understanding the joke? One, and they can kind of share that with each other. They can talk it through, or they can type it in the chat. But then they can also a little bit understand some, you know, English language humor. And that's a cultural part where they really understand, because they're like, I don't understand jokes, right? Jokes are so hard. Humor is so hard for me. And then if they start to break that apart with some simpler language and a little bit of punctuation inside of there, it doesn't really feel like they're doing punctuation activities. It just feels like they're talking about how a joke works a little bit, and whether they can understand that or not, and whether or not it's funny to them too. Right. So lots and lots of these. Yeah.
So I also wanted to suggest Jamboard. I know Jamboard is one of our go-tos for a lot of things, but so you're talking about explaining perhaps why a comma is necessary. And one thing that I used to do in the face-to-face classroom is the teaching hyphens, when you should hyphenate a word, especially when you're talking about descriptive nouns. For example, a red pencil case versus a red hyphen pencil case. What's the difference between the two? And you'll get a student who knows it, who's learned it before, and they'll be able to explain. But it would be really great, because there will be students who don't understand, but now if you've got Jamboard, you can have the students select pictures and then explain the difference between the two. So that gives you a nice visual, plus you're collecting something that you can show other students.
I love that. Yeah. Because they
only
can
because the visual is so important. Or I think there's you could use headlines and have the students find funny headlines or vague headlines. For example, man eating tiger versus man hyphen eating tiger.
Right.
And that, you know, gives the students a chance to explain, and then others to come up with different examples. And they don't have to draw anything. They could just simply go on the internet and find something, or they could draw something.
Right. Yeah. So, that's great. I love that too, because with the visual add-on there, that makes them think about it and separate the two ideas inside of their mind. Awesome. So my next one, we talked about it quite a bit, and we even have a blog post on it, the emoji power paragraph.
Yes, I love this.
You just can't
go wrong with emoji power paragraph.
But the great thing, like, you could just apply, or, you know, assign a punctuation mark inside of the emoji power paragraph, right? So you can say, hey, all right, we learned how to do, so we just did the Jamboard, we learned the difference of the hyphens. Now here are the three or five emoji, and I want you to use a hyphen while you're, you know, linking these ideas together. That's it, right? So all you're doing is just throwing in one extra little challenge, one punctuation challenge.
A twist.
Yeah, it's just
you're leveling up.
Level up. We're dropping nitro in there, right?
Yeah.
So all you're gonna do is just add a tiny part to it. Especially if the students are already used to the emoji power paragraph, then you say, hey, I want you to show me that you understand this punctuation, the one that we already talked about, add it in, make it work, and then they can just go wild with that, and their creativity is the limit.
Another really kind of a basic tool, but it's, I just think that all teachers should have access to this one and at least play around with it, is Kami annotations. You can use it obviously with PDFs, but I like to have just a blank PDF. And as students are creating sentences, since you can collaborate with them in real time, you can have them go in there and highlight a comma or highlight a part of a sentence that's divided by a semicolon, and then discuss what that punctuation is doing to the relationship between the ideas. And because it saves everything in the cloud, now you've got notes that students can download, and also you can keep for, you know, further other classes that you might have in the future. But it's a very, it's an easy tool, and it's free. And so I love anything that's easy and free. Cami is just good for a lot of things, actually, not just that.
Yeah. So my last one is Padlet. So we recently got Padlet activated on our campus. So I'm super excited about that. I know it's kind of the free version is very limited to, I think, 3 Padlets, but you can delete and add. I've seen lots of teachers do it. It's like, I just need one at a time. I'll delete and I'll make a new one. Yeah. But what you can do with Padlet is you can set up some columns, right? So each column could be a punctuation or a writing goal or whatever it is. But I'm going to just say a straight up punctuation, right? So, hey, here is a, you know, show me that you know how to use a comma here. Show me that you know how to use a semicolon and a colon, right? So you've got them all separated by each other. And then you're going to ask students to write, you know, maybe similar sentences, but with different punctuation marks. And how do they need to change the sentences in order to do that under each column, right? And so then they can see what their classmates are writing also. So they can kind of look and see examples and maybe, you know, use that as some inspiration. But it could just be a real straightforward way for them to go, oh, okay, this is basically just a graphic organizer, super simple. But they could play with that as a way to have quick and easy goals to get into, and Padlet can offer a lot of flexibility with that too.
Excellent. Okay, it is time for our fun finds, and today's fun find it was from someone on Twitter on my PLN, and I'm so sorry, I'm terrible at remembering who exactly I learned it from. How but
it better not be me.
I don't think it was you this time.
Okay. All right. What do you got?
But this is andthenIwasLike.co.
Oh, that's not me.
It's the website. Okay. andthenIwasLike.co. And it's a gift creator. A lot of people are creating, or a lot of teachers are creating gifts of themselves. Mm-hmm. And this has a lot of options. And it's a simple website that you can use to create a gif of yourself that you can put somewhere on a slide deck or on your Google Classroom header or something like that, or a website. So
nice.
I thought that was really kind of another cool tool.
Can you do it with a transparent background, like on a green screen or something?
Yeah.
Nice.
So you can do that. You can remove the background and you can add text, and it's pretty cool.
I'm going to make some podcast some dancing breaking dancing gifts. Yeah, that'll be great. All right. So mine is, I never thought I'd say this, but over the winter break, I really came to love Santa's butt. I found some true joy.
Santa's butt. Well, tell us all about it.
There's a beer called Santa's butt, which is,
I knew it had to be either beer or coffee.
It's a beer, yeah. It was great though. Like, I was so surprised at how, you know, it's heavy. Sorry, it's just such a dumb joke, but I love it. So anyways, Santa's butt is a, you know, they give out these kind of seasonal beers, I guess, whatever they are. And during the winter time, they have this one called Santa's Butt. It's a porter. You know, it's a good time for if we're still in the cold season. It was very, you know, heavy but enjoyable. And if you are into a little bit heavier, darker beers, it seemed to only be seasonal. So the thing is that I found it at what is that called? Place called World Mart.
World Mart?
Yeah,
or World Mart.
I think it's World Mart.
Okay. How about Cost Plus?
Yeah, same type of place, right? Maybe okay. They would have it there too. But basically, what happened is I went in there with my wife during Christmas season, and I got one. It was pretty expensive. It was like $6 or $7. I'm like, okay, well, I enjoyed it, but whatever. And then we went by recently, and she's like, well, you know, they might still have some, and it's after Christmas, so let's go take a look. And they were $1.50 each. And so
nobody else wanted to buy Santa's butt.
Nobody wanted Santa's butt. Poor neglected Santa's butt. So anyways, it's February. It's the season of love, and I recommend going and finding old unloved Santa's butt.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. You could win a one-of-a-kind diesel pin by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, as we've said. And if you're giving us a shout-out in any other way, make sure you tag us on social media.
For the show notes and other episodes, you can find us at diesel.org/34, so the number 34. And, of course, you can listen to episodes at Voice Ed Canada. That's VOICED.ca. We are, of course, on Twitter. That's our number one place for us. So the show is at DieselPod, and I am at Brent G. Warner.
I am Ishelle at IXY_Pixie. That's IXY_PIXY. In Azerbaijani, thank you is Sahol. Sahol for tuning into the Diesel Podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
See you soon.